Chapter 7. Terra, the Imperial Palace. There were three of them in the octagon: Veritas, Asprion Mactanin, and Nemesi Nanjurita, sitting on the lowest of the three tiers. For all the studied, wood-panelled pseudo-intimacy of the space, Veritas was conscious of how cavernous it was for such an encounter. Perceptions were important. He needed Nanjurita's to be the correct ones. He had little choice about the meeting place, though. The octagon security systems, whether sigil-based or technological, did not only shut down the possibility of attack in the room, they also enforced privacy. The situation was beyond delicate. The unfolding disaster was pushing Veritas towards a decision he did not want to make. If he could avoid that contingency, he would. To that end, he sought total control over the words that were spoken and the ears that heard them.
"Where is Inquisitor Venand?"
Nanjurita asked.
"We don't know," Mactanin said. "Your answer tells me that you've lost track of her, meaning that you are hunting her."
"She is a danger to the proper task of the Inquisition."
"There was no consensus on that issue," Nanjurita reminded him. "Never mind on the option of an assassination."
"She is heading for the Inquisitorial Fortress,"
Veritas put in. Time to calm the waters, if possible. He wanted an ally, not an enemy, in Nanjurita. She commanded a lot of respect within the Inquisition. Her opinion carried weight.
"And are you planning to ambush her there?"
"No."
Two failed attempts on her life, the chance of a quick and quiet elimination of Venan's influence, had vanished. To make matters worse, Veritas's forces looked incompetent. The very moves that were meant to consolidate his authority were undermining it. Nanjurita had been at least listening to his arguments before, and had been willing to concede the possibility that Venan's relationship with the High Lords was a bit too comfortable. She had not signed off on anything more, and now, though Mactanin was stepping in to catch the blame for the botched operations, it was clear that her displeasure was primarily with Veritas. She was not his only possible ally. He would act as he had to alone, if necessary, but he still hoped to avoid the more drastic measures. He hadn't given up on bringing Nanjurita around.
"We have friends in the fortress," he said. "We aren't without influence there."
"Inquisitor Venand has more."
"And if she carries the day, the consequences will be tragic."
Nanjurita sighed.
"You do realize that an Orc Star fortress is in our skies? Your argument that the Orcs are not the principal threat isn't terribly convincing at this moment."
"I'm not saying that the Orcs shouldn't be fought. Of course they are a danger. But the overcommitment of resources to this one endeavor will leave us vulnerable to a greater enemy."
Nanjurita looked at Mactanin.
"You agree, I take it?"
He nodded.
"We can't afford to take our eyes off the moves of the archenemy." "You know me,"
Nanjurita said to Veritas.
"You know that I would never underestimate the threat of the ruinous powers. I am fully aware of what the heresy cost the Imperium. But we triumphed over the Eye. Its activity has been minimal of late, and the Orcs are menacing us with imminent annihilation."
"Which is exactly why all the attention given to them is such a mistake. Now is when the real enemy is most dangerous. The Imperium has been weakened and is distracted. What better moment to strike?"
"That is a hypothetical. The Orc attack is real."
"What Orc attack?" Veritas demanded. "Nothing has happened since the moon's arrival. Where is the Orc invasion?"
The look on Nanjurita's face told him all he needed to know. He hadn't convinced her of anything, except perhaps that he was unbalanced. He was disappointed to see that doubt in her eyes. It was one he had seen many times before. One of the costs of the war that was his destiny to wage. One of the great strengths of the ruinous powers was their improbability. It was too easy to disbelieve in them or in their danger until it was too late. He had made that mistake in his youth. He still bore the scars of that error. His power armor was his defense, and it was his weapon, but it also gave mobility to a body that could no longer function outside of its ceramite shell. He tried another tack. A last one.
"The fact remains that Inquisitor Venand is a rogue player. She must be prevented from causing any further damage."
"For all we know, Within the next few days, there will be very little left to damage. Unless Speaker Tull's crusade turns out to be the miracle she would have everyone believe it to be.
I share your doubts about the strategy,
Veritas said, and waited for Najarita to say something more. Her statement had bordered on the non sequitur. Najarita stood.
Then we are agreed.
The meeting was over. MacTannin and Veritas lingered after she left.
What did that mean? MacTannin asked.
That she does not share our evaluation of Inquisitor Venand.
She'll oppose us?
I don't think so. She's doubtful, but isn't going to throw her strength to one side or the other, at least for the moment.
Where does that leave us?
We have to try again.
Najarita won't appreciate being lied to.
I wasn't lying. She's forcing her hand. Venand has too many friends in the fortress. Once she's inside, I'm far from certain that we have the political strength to counter her moves.
A third attempt is going to be messy, whether or not it is successful.
Still better than the alternative. If she has her way, there may not be any turning back.
We still don't know what she plans.
Veritas turned his head slowly. He gave the younger man his coldest stare.
Your resolution is lacking, too.
MacTannin shook his head.
You know it isn't.
Veritas did not know this. At this moment, he had only MacTannin's reassurance. Veritas knew that there was no love lost between MacTannin and Venand. What he was uncertain about was how fully MacTannin appreciated the threat of chaos. Veritas respected the record of MacTannin's battles, but he didn't know the depths of his commitment now.
Veritas left the octagon a few minutes later. He made his way towards his quarters along Prescription Way. It was one of the narrower arcades of the Imperial Palace, less than 10 meters across. The vault was so high, and the skylights so few and grimed by centuries of smog, that daylight never reached the floor. The passage was a land of perpetual evening. The lumen globes were spaced such that there was enough light to see by, but a walk along the way was a journey through degrees of shadow. The flagstones of the floor were engraved with devotional sayings. The erosion of millions of footsteps had worn them away until there were patterns of faint lines, fragments of words and suggestions of meaning. Thought was being erased from Prescription Way one pedestrian at a time, but it was preserved and given rigour in the Gothic honeycombs that lined the passage. The ground floors were emporiums selling prayer scrolls, altar icons, and exegetical texts. The way ran north-south, its gentle sinuosity carrying on for kilometres, its 1,000 merchants vying in solemn and twilight quiet for the attention of the faithful. Scholars lived above the vendors. They were the writers of tracts, the commentators of texts, the explorers of devotion. They laboured with the industry of obsession. Veritas liked the character of Prescription Way. The scholars had only half the truth. There was no mention in any of their texts of the ruinous powers, but the faith they extolled was a necessary, if not sufficient, defence against them. The people who lived and worked here were fighting the war, even if they didn't realise it. The lasfire came in a cluster of shots. The first seared his cheek. His instincts reacted before his conscious mind, reflexes taking over. He brought up his left arm to protect his head. The second shot creased his scalp. He lunged to one side of the arcade. The third shot burned down the side of his temple. Then he was against the wall, looking for the origins of the fire. There were too many windows with too many people visible in silhouette. None were looking at him. None were armed. The sniper had stopped shooting. Veritas waited, his last pistol drawn. Nothing. The nearby pedestrians had scattered, crouching in doorways or behind stalls. The sniper's aim had been excellent. His armour was untouched. His wounds throbbed, and he smelt burnt flesh. If he had been just a bit slower, if the sniper's first shot had not been spoiled by whatever random event had intervened, no targets, no further attack. He started moving down the way again, moving backwards until he went around a curve and the point of ambush was out of sight. He turned around and strode down the passage, monitoring all sides for threat. His temple throbbed with anger even more than it did from the wound. He was furious with humiliation. He had been turned into a figure of ridicule,
power armored, but in full retreat. But he couldn't attack what he could not find. He hadn't even been able to gauge the angle of the shots. Even if he could level both sides of the way, the assassin would be long gone. He tried to think past the rage. The tactical situation had changed. He couldn't be sure that Venant had instigated the attack, but even if she hadn't, she had friends who dared act on her behalf. Who were they? Too many possibilities. His own position now looked more precarious. He reconsidered the deployment of his forces. Vangorich let 3 hours go by before he ventured into Prescription Way. He found Ferran Reach in a book-lined cell on the fourth floor. The sniper had put his rifle away and resumed his scholar's habit. Reach was the same age as Krul, but looked much older, even older than Vangorich. His face was a map of wrinkles, deep as canyons. His hair and beard were lank, grey, and long. His stoop and his shuffle were convincing, but they were false. The body beneath the robes was supple wire, capable of remaining motionless yet alert for days. He squinted, as if through cataracts. He didn't break the act even before the Grand Master of the Officio. He was standing by the shelves set into the wall to the left of the door when Vangorich walked in. He looked up from the manuscript he was holding. He didn't look pleased. He nodded once, which was what passed for a salute from Reach.
"So?"
Vangorich asked. Reach looked back down at the book and turned the page over.
"First time I've shot to miss," he said. "You made it convincing, I'm sure." "He's counting his blessings."
"Well done."
"Feels like a loss. Don't like losses."
Vangorich walked over to the assassin.
"It's my hope that you killed an idea today."
He gestured at the rows of leather spines.
"That's a target you can appreciate, I would think."
Reach snorted and closed the book.
"I wouldn't."
After a moment, conscious that he might be pushing too far, he added,
"Grand Master."
Vangorich spread his hands, expressing regret.
"I'm sorry, Ferran. The dodge was necessary."
"Why keep him alive? If he's worth attacking, he's worth killing."
"He isn't worth a war. The balance is delicate. If we killed him, we could trigger a civil war in the Inquisition, or if and when they realized what we'd done, that would be just as bad. The agents of that institution, with Venant in the Ascendant, are the only useful allies we have right now. The goal today was to destabilize Veritas, make him uncertain about his position and his attackers."
Reach replaced the book.
"Well, job done, sir."
Somewhat mollified, he added,
"Think it helped?"
"I hope so."
Vangorich moved to the window and looked out. The traffic on Prescription Way flowed in both directions, untroubled by the earlier violence or by the unseen orc presence beyond the vault. This region of the Imperial Palace had been the least touched by the Great Panic. Instead of rioting, the inhabitants had withdrawn further into their hermetic studies. They poured their consciousness into the mysteries of faith and denied the upheavals of the world. It was a nice strategy, though not one he thought that the orcs would respect once they came. And was the game he was playing against Veritas any more practical? He had to believe it was. He had to believe that Venant was moving towards a viable strategy to combat the orcs.
"Correct me if I'm wrong," Reach said behind him, "but we're putting a lot of faith into another party to solve the big problems."
The irony made Vangorich grin. It was either that or curse.
"Exactly," he said. "We have to have faith."
Another hard lesson from the hard days.